Hello, I'm Eileen McHugh with the BBC News. Paramilitary forces fighting the regular army in Sudan say they've captured a key state capital in the southeast of the country. This latest advance increases pressure on the army in Sudan's year-old civil war. Ian McWilliam reports.
The paramilitary rapid support forces began fighting the regular army for control of Sudan last April. In their latest advance, they say they've occupied the town of Singa on the Blue Nile, the capital of Sennar State. This area controls transport routes from Port Sudan on the Red Sea, where the government and the army are now based. Videos online show armed men in front of police and government buildings, brandishing guns and shouting Allahu Akbar. Footage also shows residents and civilian vehicles fleeing Singa. RSF forces already control much of the capital, Khartoum, and southwestern Sudan. The civil war has created the world's worst humanitarian crisis, with 7 million people driven from their homes and more than 700,000 on the brink of starvation.
At least 18 people have been killed in a series of blasts in northeastern Nigeria's Borno state. Scores more were injured. At least one of the blasts was said to have been carried out by a female suicide bomber who targeted a wedding ceremony in the town of Goza on Saturday afternoon. One witness said the woman had a baby strapped to her back when she detonated the explosives. The military imposed a curfew on the area following the attacks. Fighting in northern Gaza has continued for a third day, with the Israeli military saying it's fighting above and below ground. Witnesses say the area is under attack from warplanes, tanks and drones. Here's Jessica McCallan.
The new offensive in the Shujaiya neighbourhood near Gaza City comes several months after Israel said it had dismantled Hamas operatives in the north of the besieged territory. It now says the militants are regrouping. Both Hamas and Islamic Jihad say they are taking part in this latest round of fighting. Israel claims to have killed dozens of Palestinian fighters. It has also confirmed the deaths of two Israeli soldiers. The UN says living conditions for Palestinians are unbearable and that up to 80,000 are newly displaced.
Officials in Ukraine say Russian attacks on towns and villages in the south and east of the country have killed at least 11 people on Saturday. Danny Eberhard has this report.
Photos online show a crater left by a strike in Vilniansk. The region's governor, Ivan Fedorov, said shops and buildings had been damaged, along with critical infrastructure, though he didn't specify what. The attacks have once again prompted a call from President Zelensky for allies to accelerate key decisions, as delays led to loss of life. He's long been pushing for more air defence systems.
Danny Eberhard reporting. This is the latest world news from the BBC. North Korea has described this week's military exercises by the United States, Japan and South Korea as a provocation. In a statement on Sunday, Pyongyang said it would protect regional peace with an aggressive response. The 3 days of Freedom Edge military drills involve fighter jets, Navy destroyers and an aircraft carrier. Kenya's defence minister says the army will be deployed on the streets until calm is restored, following a week of unrest and political turmoil. Aidan Duale's announcement comes as Kenya prepares for more protests, despite the withdrawal of controversial plans to raise taxes. Our Africa editor, Richard Kagoi, who's in Nairobi, says the main complaint of the protesters is about government corruption.
They have no issue with the country increasing taxes. But what they're saying is there's so much money that is being wasted when it comes to government excesses, when it comes to government expenditure through corruption. And they're saying, instead of increasing taxes, then why don't you just become financially disciplined and there will be enough resources actually to pay the debts that the country owes and also to finance development and the country's recurrent expenditure.
President Biden is back on the campaign trail in New York a day after the city's most influential newspaper urged him to drop out of the election race. A prominent editorial in the New York Times described Mr. Biden's determination to run again as a reckless gamble. There's rising concern among Democrats after his poor performance in the first debate of the election campaign. India have ended their 13-year wait for a Cricket World title by fighting back to beat South Africa by 7 runs in a thrilling men's T20 World Cup final in Barbados. South Africa had appeared to be closing in on victory, only to be halted by some outstanding Indian bowling. BBC News.